All right, welcome back to Two Noobs and a Burger. This is episode 10, and we have everybody here again tonight. We have Isaac on my right, and then
Hello.
Andrew also on my right, and then directly in my front of me is the beautiful Jonathan Newby.
Oh, thank you. You should have. I would have thought you were saying frontal lobe, and I was like, hey, it works.
Yeah, I can't talk very well. I'm still not completely adjusted to this whole, like, waking up at 3:30 in the morning
thing for
day shift.
I prefer the name Jonifer.
Yeah, I switched over to day shift 2 weeks ago, so.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I've been up since 3:30.
See, I have day shift, I have day shift tomorrow, so I actually start at 5:30 tomorrow.
Nice.
Jeez. So is your day shift the one that goes from, like, 3:30 until, like, 4:30 or whatever?
No, I that's just a thing up on distribution. Oh, I just work eights, but I go into work at 5, but I have to wake up at 3:30 to eat breakfast and shower and all that stuff.
Gotcha. See, all my knowledge comes from the distribution.
Yeah, they have so many different weird ass shifts that I don't even, because they run 7 days a week. We only run 5 days
gotcha.
A week. So today we are talking about our picks for the top 5 Westerns. And I believe we laid down some rules beforehand. I think the primary of which was no time travel.
Dang it.
And
no time travel.
We said the 18th or the 19th century, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
as well.
like late 18th century where they have gunpowder and potentially.
And
I know Isaac said some about no Harrison Ford movies, but he didn't say anything about Daniel Craig
movies.
Well,
but I told him
Harrison Ford movies that involve cowboys and aliens,
but I mean it technically fits. I mean it is in the 18th or the 19th century.
Yeah, you guys watch that?
There's no and it's not on any of our lists.
I've seen it many times.
So bad.
I have an amazing
Micah?
Fascination with it.
It's one of Micah's favorite movies. Like top five, man. Top
so,
five.
The amazing. Thing about the thing about cowboys versus aliens is when you watch it. Is Sam Rockwell's in it, but he just plays a random, like, bartender, and he's normal.
I legitimately don't remember Sam Rockwell at all.
Exactly. That's the weird thing about the movie. You don't know he's in it until you go back on IMDb and you're like,
what?
That was the same guy who was in Galaxy Quest?
Like, I remember Harrison Ford, obviously, and Daniel Craig, and then they had the girl that was in House for a while that played the lesbian.
Oh, yeah.
And then I want to say that they had the kid that Daniel Day-Lewis beat the crap out of in There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, killed with a bowling ball.
I think
ball.
He was in that.
It was a bowling pin.
They was it a bowling pin? I have no idea.
I was like,
this is the weirdest, most random scene of any movie I've seen.
No, there's so many random actors in it. Like, Clancy Brown was in it. I mean, Keith Carradine's in it. You don't remember any of them.
But yeah, the whole plot of it was that the aliens, like, needed gold, so they came to Earth, and they had a ray that, like, liquefied gold, and for whatever reason, they took Daniel Craig up to their spaceship to dissect him, and he got the blaster ray, and...
What?
Hey, man, it's
like...
He
wakes up with amnesia, and he has,
really
like, a weapon on his arm.
Yeah.
I think you do, actually.
I do.
Like,
so...
If I win the Independence Day 2...
It is better than Wild Wild West.
Yeah. If I win the Independence
Day
2
Wild Wild
West
has a giant
vote,
spider in it, man.
I'm gonna
it was supposed
assign
to be in Superman.
You Cowboys versus Aliens.
So here's the thing. So, you watch the Star Trek remake, right?
Yeah.
So you know when Kirk rescues Pike from the ship and he gives him the blaster?
Yeah.
It's like that, only it's just Daniel Craig and it's a wrist-mounted blaster and there's gold involved somehow.
Yeah. They liquefy the gold. I remember that vividly.
And then, actually, Walton Goggins is in that movie, too, as a racist cowboy.
Fantastic. All right, so who
he plays... Sorry, he's the guy who's the leader of Daniel Craig's gang who's like, hey, guys... This year's a holdup. Welcome. Welcome. And then that's like the entire time he's in the movie.
I don't remember that at all. I've blocked out so much.
I only know parts that Walton Goggins in.
Nice.
That's it. The only thing.
All right. So who wants to kick off the list with a suggestion?
Well,
my first one is I'm going to go big for True Grit.
Original or remake?
Yeah, that's the thing, is I've only seen the remake. I haven't seen the original.
So, I was actually really thinking about it today, and I actually do think the remake is
A lot of people call it the remake, when a lot of the consensus is that it's actually more of an adaptation from the book. I know that sounds super pretentious that I'm putting that on the table here, but yeah, it's...
That's fine. Either way, I totally agree that the... What is his name?
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff, yes, yeah, sorry, yeah. Jeff Bridges' version is.
I think he does way better. Yeah, way better than.
Yeah,
the only part of the original true John Wayne is a hack.
Yeah,
like, he was a terrible actor.
Uh-huh. But, he was really bad. Yeah.
But yeah, like the only really good part of the original True Grit was the Robert Duvall part, and you could see that come through because in the remake he played that part just like Robert Duvall did.
Yeah.
Other than that, everything about the remake or the readaptation or reimagining, whatever you want to call it, was superior in my opinion.
Yeah, everything. Like the cinematography in that movie was great too. It was they had some really nice shots.
And like, I mean, even Matt Damon, like I'm not a huge Matt Damon fan. There's certain stuff that I really like him in, but I really enjoyed him in that role. He did an extremely good job.
I like it when
he
gets like, when he does these sort of out, like, it's a way different role than he normally does.
I think it's hilarious when he tries to spank, or when he spanks the girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the fact that he has a lisp through the rest of the half of, like, second half of the movie, because he's, like, bitten off half of his tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's hilarious.
Have you guys watched the John Wayne True Grit since?
I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
I haven't watched that one.
I used to watch it all the time.
I watched Rooster Cogburn the other day.
Yeah. So there is just a super drawn out, kind of honestly hard to watch because I'm pretty sure John Wayne was legitimately drunk while they were filming it.
Yeah.
Scene where he's just trying to shoot cornbread.
Awesome.
And like it
trying
is
to shoot cornbread.
Yeah, because
it's how you make moonshine.
You know, they're telling him that he can't shoot because he's too drunk and this and that, and he just, I mean, it's just him throwing cornbread and shooting at it, and it's like a solid 10-minute scene, and it's it's hard to watch, like. I'm pretty sure that he was just, like, having a mental breakdown on there and just, like, started hucking cornbread, and they're like, keep it rolling.
He doesn't know he's not using real bullets.
So, yeah, it sounds like we have a pretty general consensus on that True Grit was a good movie.
Yeah. And it's funny, because the Coen's version of that scene where he's just throwing into the air and he's shooting at it only lasts about 45 maybe 50 seconds,
and it's funny.
It's
kind of sad.
It's
a little bit sad, but it's also funny at the same time. Like the John Wayne one, like you're like, wow, this is just kind of depressing. all right Andrew, suggestion?
So I've got a couple of them on my list. Some are probably on others, but I think that Django Unchained was one of the best westerns of the last 20 years.
I put it on my list because I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now it
Chris
was...
Chris does not seem like he agrees with this list.
Okay, if you're looking at... so, this is already going into defense of my opinion here. If you are comparing that to the old spaghetti westerns, which it's supposed to be a homage to, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Well, it's still got a lot of the same filming styles of those old spaghetti westerns. It's pretty rough to watch in terms of a lot of the topical issues that are around nowadays. Like, it uses the N-word more than any movie out ever, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is not anything like those old spaghetti westerns.
So, first off, I'm just going to come out right out and say I hate Jamie Foxx. Mm-hmm. I wish that they would stop putting him in movies.
Yeah.
I thought he was a terrible choice as the main character in that movie. He was not likable at any point. He drove me insane. The only guy I like was, and I can never remember the actor's
Christoph
name.
Waltz?
Yeah, Christoph Waltz. Yeah. He's amazing, and like he did an incredible job in that movie. But when all was said and done, the movie was pointless. Like it dragged on way too long. The use of the N-word, I mean, I understand that it was a period piece to a certain extent. I mean, it obviously wasn't super, like, they weren't like, oh, we're making a history movie. But he just went overboard. He could have toned it back. Sam Jackson's character in that movie, and I understand he was supposed to be unlikable, but the skull cap they put him in was ridiculous. Like, it was straight up a terrible makeup job. His character was not only unlikable, it pissed me off that Sam Jackson took that role. Really legitimately did. And then Leonardo DiCaprio, well, he put on a decent performance in it. He frustrated me as well. Like, he was... He went from moments of, like, extreme brilliance in acting to just, like, this is first day acting school.
I don't think that Leo necessarily portrays like a sociopathic slave owner very well.
Well, he wasn't supposed
to be
a sociopath.
How many sociopathic slave owners do you know?
No, see, that's...
Most of them.
there's a pretty clear distinction here. He wasn't supposed to be a sociopath. He was supposed to just essentially consider black people to be less than human.
Yeah, just so, supposed to be animals.
Which was pretty common in that day.
Especially in Mississippi during that time. So,
what you're saying is that Jamie Foxx's name should have been Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should have been. But I disagree with you completely.
That's
Chris.
Fine.
But this is why I love this podcast, because we can do this. And we're not going to hate each other afterwards.
Oh,
so,
crap. Someone told me the wrong information.
Ah, son of a bitch. Okay, so apparently. No, but I thought that Leonardo DiCaprio was amazing in that movie. And I thought he did a spectacular job playing just this ridiculously hateful character that there's nothing about this person that you're supposed to like. And then Jamie Foxx's character, Now, Jamie Foxx as an actor, I don't have as much of a problem with him as you do, but I don't know. But I have a problem with other actors, and I can relate to your... I can empathize with you hating an actor more than anything in the world. But, I mean, I don't really have that kind of bias towards him.
So no, but...
It didn't really ruin it.
And honestly, I went into that movie, like, expecting good things. I had heard good things. I mean, I am a Quentin Tarantino fan. I dislike some of his movies, but I am overall a Quentin Tarantino fan. But... It just didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, what I kind of... So, to put it in better terms for the Leonardo DiCaprio, what bothered me about him is sometimes, like, when he had the whole discussion at the dinner table where he brings in the skull, like, that was a brilliant scene, and a lot of that was improvised. And that showed how good of an actor he was.
Like,
and then when
cutting
they first
his hand,
introduce
him... Has no basis on the movie itself.
When they first introduce him and they show other parts, it's like he was trying to do KFC commercial, and like he was like, "I'm Colonel Sanders, y'all." Like, I mean,
well, that's only gonna make me appreciate it even more.
Kind of true,
because I'm gonna go back and watch it and be like,
and also, real quick, the only argument I have about Sam Jackson's character, is Sam Jackson's character is supposed to be like a bad guy.
But
he is also one of the only like logically sympathetic characters in the movie where you're like, okay, so it's this black dude who's been owned by people his entire life and beaten down and destroyed. He finally has someone who is showing him loyalty and allows him to live a pretty sweet life in the house and not actually have a lot of responsibility. And along comes this upstart who's coming to just start a rebellion and screw his place out
and,
of the house.
And then Sam Jackson's already gone through the entire twilight of his life,
basically.
He's got nothing else.
Yeah,
if
he's
you
got
take
nothing
this away
else
from
to live
him, this
for.
Dude's got like 5 years left in his
exactly.
life.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's totally fine. And I totally understand that is what his character is supposed to be. But his character was also just there so Quentin Tarantino wouldn't be called straight up racist.
So, can I just say the one...
Yeah.
Like, the most concise reason why I like that movie is because it's stripped down. It's just a story essentially about a guy who needs to go and find his wife and their slaves in the South. Like, everything else centers around just this setting. That's really all it is. So, and the addition of Christoph Waltz in that movie really makes it way better. Too. It's because he's just this dude who just wanders and just by happenstance shows up and meets Django. And he's also a bounty hunter, too, which is like a just classic Western to me. That's one of the reasons I appreciate it.
The other thing about it is I probably could have appreciated... And everybody's seen that movie in this room, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I could have appreciated that movie a lot more if they would have wrapped it up when Christoph Waltz died.
Instead of having to go back
because
and
burn the
house down.
Because there was like another 30 minutes after that just so Quentin Tarantino could get his bit part in his own movie so he could drop a couple N-bombs and do a really terrible Australian accent.
What do you hate worse, Jamie Foxx or Jamie Foxx's penis being displayed on a giant theater screen?
What was Jamie Foxx? Oh, in that movie.
You saw
and then some
theaters?
Dude gets to grab his nuts.
I did not see that one in theaters, so...
Yeah.
I don't like
that's a rough one to see in theater.
Truthfully speaking,
I really had to pee at the end of it.
Like,
let me tell you, it's a long movie.
Jamie Foxx has never done anything that I think was made better for him being in.
Well, could you have imagined Will Smith in that role? Because he was originally supposed to play it. And then he ended up backing out.
Will Smith,
yeah, I could have, actually. Yeah.
Will Smith would have made him doing it campy. Yeah. And I agree that...
Well, you didn't need an actor of substance for that role. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Most of it was just Christoph Waltz, which is amazing to me that he got a supporting actor nomination. Yeah. Didn't he for that movie?
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, and he... I would go as far as to say that guy was...
Yeah, well, he carried the movie.
He was. Well, I mean, because
sure.
He set the stage for everything. He's the one who showed up when Django was on that chain line, and he's the one who took him along with him and said, I need to pick up these people. And then along the way, he makes an agreement with Django. Django should have been a supporting character, and that movie should have centered around Crystal.
I totally agree. Yeah. And I would have enjoyed the movie more. I will say, though, that movie did have one amazingly great scene, and it's when all the rednecks are putting the sheets over their head, and just like that whole discussion was a brilliant piece of
like
cinema.
The weird random cameo from Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
I can't like, see what? Thing out of this. But, I know that wasn't Jonah Hill that said that.
All right.
No, but that was still really funny.
But anyway,
it does sound like the three of you enjoy the movie, so I'm outvoted, and I will.
We'll keep it on the list but
for
we'll
the moment because we're gonna have other
more
stuff
concise at the end of it. Yeah. So you had some good.
So we are over to John.
All right. Yeah. So before I say my choice, in doing my research a couple minutes ago, I also found out the Walton Goggins was in Shanghai Noon playing a racist bandit cowboy. So that's like four movies right there.
He's like the Sam Elliott of racist cowboys.
That guy will always have a place because there's always a need of a racist cowboy.
Oh, yeah, anytime you need kind of dumb looking hillbilly to scream
at some. The worst violation of any Western you could have is to not include a racist cowboy.
And that's his role. All right, see if this works.
So, that's Walton Goggins.
Taking to the 310 to Yuma day after tomorrow.
Should have told him that.
Relax, friend. Now if we get separated, I know what I made up.
I love that movie.
Are you talking about the
is
new
that 310
to
Yuma?
Yeah.
I started watching that last night, and I gotta say, I was having fun, but
I've never
it
seen
was
the
a,
new one.
It, really? Oh,
yeah, it wasn't
you want to borrow
terrible.
It?
So,
yeah.
It's just not
I think it's
really,
awesome.
It's not anything that critics
it's
will...
A, it's a decent movie. The only problem that I have with that movie... like. So you guys know the
it's
whole
the
like
horse,
Russian,
it's, no,
it's because the horse
Crowe
heard the whistle.
Ben.
Yeah, Russell Crowe.
You guys
ben,
know
yeah.
the whole like D&D alignment chart, right? Like lawful good. So there's a term in D&D when you're lawful good called lawful stupid, which means that you just follow the law to the T, even if it's just the most idiotic thing possible. And that was Christian Bale in that movie, like. It was just like, I am so righteous, I'm going to do this, even though it has no point whatsoever.
So here's the thing.
No. I disagree completely.
So,
sorry, only because I watched the first half.
Because my name is Chris and your name is Andrew?
No.
Yeah, that's
no,
much
Christian
it.
Bale's entire motivation was money. He didn't actually give a shit about the law. His family was down and out. He was losing his farm because basically some bookie was taking it all away from him. They burned his barn. Russell Crowe goes into a saloon in the town after the like all the cops go out of the town looking for the carriage he just robbed, and then Christian Bale goes in there looking for the bookie, like saying, I'm shoot your ass because you're taking my farm. And then he sees Russell Crowe, which he's encountered earlier, and they have this whole back and forth. And then Christian Bale, out of the corner of his eye, notices all the law people coming back into town. And then he stalls him while he's in the saloon, and then they end up capturing him, and then he volunteers to go, and he's like, for $200.
Well, he's also trying to get his horses back,
too.
That
well, he gets his horses back. Like, Russell Crowe never actually steals it from him. He tells them, he's like, your horses will be in town. Just come and walk into town, and you'll get them.
Yeah.
And he shows up to town, and he gets his horses, and then Russell Crowe even tells him, he's like, hey, you find your horses? And he's like, yeah, I got my horses. And then he proceeds to distract him and then asks for $200 in order to escort him to the 310 to Yuma. So it's all about money. He doesn't give a shit at all.
So the whole thing about this movie is I like the fact that it is more of a just kind of a long, drawn-out Western with not really... like, yeah, there's some gunfights, but not too many.
Yeah.
And Christian Bale isn't my favorite person in that movie ever, but Russell Crowe does a stellar job, and Peter Fonda is great in it. And then also, I hate Ben Foster, but I thought he was one of the best actors in that movie. because he plays just that weird, creepy outlaw.
Yeah, and one weird thing, not Christian Bale, Russell Crowe actually does a job.
He does.
You know that movie, The Quick and the Dead?
Yes.
Yeah, he was in that movie, and he's the only part that I remember. Is basically like the classic, like, cliche, I'm a priest who's renounced violence, but I was the best gunfighter in the West.
Oh,
brought
yeah.
out of retirement to do well, these wow. to do these high noon shootouts. Yeah, he's the best part of that movie. The only good parts are when he's on there and they force him to do a quick draw with someone.
Well, and also one other thing about 310 to Yuma is they do a very good job hiding random, like, famous actors. Well, not famous. Random, like, B-movie actors throughout the movie just for weird little cameos.
Yeah.
Like, hiding, you know, Alan Tudyk as a doctor. And
hiding... Yeah, he's a vet. Yeah.
And then Luke Wilson as a guy who just hates the Chinese and makes them build a railroad.
Yeah.
You know, no, I just love the way that
whole... enjoyed the movie The Quick and the Dead. Sorry, I just
I
looked
did
this
when
up.
It was on daytime TV.
Yeah, no, I enjoy, like, if it's on TV, it's totally worth watching, because it's Leonardo DiCaprio when he's like, he's like 14 years old. It's got Gene Hackman
for reason. He's obviously the villainous mayor of the town who's extorting everybody and controls it with an iron fist.
His name in the movie is Herod.
Yeah.
They were like, all right, who's that dude from the Bible that tried to kill Jesus?
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's the mayor's name.
And then they have a priest who's a gunfighter. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. The movie actually should have been on my list.
You know that the guy that was that played Jigsaw?
I like how you just call it a piece of now you're
but
like,
now he's bringing back all these memories.
You know it is a pile of garbage movie.
It's
but
a terrible
it's,
movie.
Like, if you have the choice to watch like that or like... Young Guns,
dude,
for sure.
Young
watch
Guns,
The Quick and
Young
the Dead.
Young Guns is on one of my.
The Quick and Dead is
dude,
so. The Quick
Young
and the
Guns
Dead
is
so
on
better.
List. I'm not Young Guns.
Yeah,
on
but
list.
In Young Guns, does Leonardo
movie.
DiCaprio get shot?
No.
Yeah, but it does.
But,
he does in The Quick and
but
the Dead.
But Charlie Sheen gets shot.
Is Young Gun the Young Gun's the one with Billy Get Your Guns by Bon Jovi as the soundtrack?
No, that's the second
that's
one.
The,
oh, okay.
That's number
the second
two.
One. Yeah, they did the entire
Buns too.
That one is not on my
did
list.
Did you say Young Buns too?
I love Young Guns.
He's Isaac's just recalling Saturday Night.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about.
Saturday Night around midnight.
Apparently that's what, you know, like, middle-aged women in the 90s called those movies was Young Buns, because it was just like a bunch of, like, hot 20-year-old actors.
Yeah,
Young Buns and Young Buns 2. Who wants to give them a whirl?
It had Emilio Estevez.
Oh, yeah.
Emilio Estevez, Charlie Sheen, Kiefer Sutherland, Dermot Mulroney.
Basically the entire cast of the Three Musketeers.
The guy who... wow, I can't remember his name. The guy who was the original Chancellor in The Phantom Menace. Okay, this is really... Terrence Stamp.
Yeah.
Had Terrence Stamp. Yeah. And the guy who played Curly... in City Slickers.
Regulators!
Yeah.
Mount
it
up.
Did also help invent
it
one of the
cool
greatest rap songs ever made.
Yeah.
So all I think, right. Chris, you're up.
Yeah. So for my first one, I'll throw out Tombstone.
There you go.
With Val Kilmer, Sam Elliott, Kurt Russell, and who was the fourth brother?
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton, yeah. I've been watching that movie since I was a kid. It just... It's not the greatest Western in the world, but it is a great movie, and I thought that really Val Kilmer did that movie for me as Doc Holliday. He was great.
So good.
As the drunken asshole. I love, my favorite part of that whole movie is the part where he's like, yeah, you're too drunk to, you're probably seeing double right now. He's like, that's why I got two guns, one for the each of yous.
Yeah.
And then
I still walk around quoting that movie.
It's
like
a great movie.
When people ask me to volunteer for something, if I can ever remember it, I tell them I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah, and like, it's amazing because, like, if he had never done that movie, and you asked me right now if Val Kilmer could, like, pull off a role like that, I'd be like, absolutely not.
He was the best part of that fucking
great. But, I mean, overall, the movie was pretty fantastic. I mean, Sam Elliott played himself, because I'm pretty sure that's just what Sam Elliott's like. He hangs out at the saloon and
Johnny
carries
Ringo,
a six-gun.
You look like somebody walked over your grave.
But, yeah, it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, no, he was... I love that movie. Yes, that was on my list.
Alrighty, so no disagreements on that one, so we can move on. Isaac.
On Tombstone?
On Tombstone.
Tombstone.
Is that a rap name yet?
Tombstone?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Alright. I'm trying to decide where to go next, because, like, I think it's amazing. Two of the movies on my list are both musicals.
I can't even guess which one.
Neither can I.
The Paint Your Wagon one.
Yeah, buddy. That's what we're doing. Paint Your Wagon. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Our single viewer will probably hate me for saying this, but I've never seen it.
Okay,
I've never seen it either.
It's totally fine, guys, but you have to, because it's basically like Blazing Saddles, but made in the 50s. And it's all about, like, Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin are burying Clint Eastwood's dead brother. And they strike gold. So it's basically the beginning of Support Your Local Sheriff, where they strike gold, and then they start, you know, like, they stake their claim.
And they build
also
a whorehouse.
Really?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's also a hilarious movie.
It's hilarious.
You've never seen Blazing Saddles?
No, I've seen Blazing Saddles. Oh. It was the other one that I
Support
seen.
Your Local Sheriff.
Oh, okay,
was it? No, that movie's impossible to find a copy of unless you have a cassette player.
Or the Pirate Bay.
Yeah, the Pirate Bay
too.
Had it.
Yeah.
Had
it at one point. But they probably still do.
We
don't download anything from the Pirate Bay.
Never.
No.
Anyway,
we don't have anyone to pay for it.
Thank God for editing.
Yeah. So Paint Your Wagon has Lee Marvin and Clint Eastwood. They strike gold, and then they build this town called No Name Town. And there's, like, musical numbers where it's just a group of dudes that are all trying to dig gold, like, dancing in the streets and being like, we need hookers so we can get some blowjobs.
Isaac
we
is
need hookers.
Swinging his elbow back and forth in a cocked fashion right now.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's got some fantastic songs where they're all about sex. And then the movie really starts when a Mormon polygamist comes to town.
A Mormon polygamist, you say?
And since he's got a spare wife, he holds an auction.
Well, that's nice of him.
Yeah, and Lee Marvin and Clint Eastwood both buy her, so she marries two dudes, and the movie goes from there.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm just going to straight up tell you, it's not going to make the list, because half of us haven't seen it, and it's been so long since I've seen it. I honestly don't remember most of what you're talking about.
Probably when you saw it, like, you were pretty young, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, if you watch it as an adult, like, if you watch it as a kid, it's just, like, a boring-ass cowboy movie where there's some gold miners and some shit explodes every now and again, but there's also singing, which is terrible when you're a kid. But when you're an adult, you get to realize every single one of these songs is about sex.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way
there's some musicals I still hate, though, like The Sound of Music.
Yeah. Yes,
I don't remember what stand-up comedian said it, but
he
was talking about The Sound of Music, and he's like, The Sound of Music was the first time in my life I was rooting for the Nazis.
I do appreciate it, because it did give the Vandals the chance
to that's a great song.
So Long Farewell.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is an excellent remake.
It is.
All right. Yeah.
So I guess now's a perfect time to say, in my life, I've seen maybe 10 Westerns, and... like six of them I hated, so I don't have a whole lot to contribute to this list.
That's why I said
your list was going to consist of Silverado five times.
Well, you threw out one of his list items in Blazing Saddles, just like
why
in passing conversation.
I don't feel like I got to be part of that.
It got thrown out because I was trying to explain.
Isaac
what
actually threw out like three. Isaac threw out four of my five items in one conversation.
Yeah,
that's
how Isaac rolls.
So if you pay close attention, you know what my entire list is.
I didn't say they were on the list. It was a reference so people
You do that a lot in the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, people, like, we're trying to, like, go in a circle, and you're like, I'm going to throw out, like, 17 movies in this genre.
It could be this, or this, or this. Well, but I really like this. So.
In the background, everyone's just like,
just, like, furiously checking off their list.
George Clooney dies in Gravity.
So? Yeah.
He does.
And also,
you
hold on.
Son of a bitch.
Jon Snow is
Stop
dead.
It.
Jon Snow is
Stop
dead.
It.
He's dead. He's
you realize
dead.
How much editing
he
work
stabbed.
You're putting in front
it
of him right now?
Crazy, bro.
To be fair, they didn't actually
you know what
show
else
him
happened?
Die. He may have
you're
that super blood. He may be like Wolverine of the old times.
You're a devil is what you are. Some people want to watch the world burn. You want to watch people get over a pile of dead corpses.
Shut up, boo.
Perfect.
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Perfect.
Probably the saddest story I've ever heard is from a man named Michael Williams. None of you know who he is, but he is a genuine saint among men and wise beyond his years. He's like 48. But he said, he told me that one of the worst experiences that he had was when he was renting The Usual Suspects for the first time from a Blockbuster Video, and he walks up to the counter and his buddy is standing right next to him, and he says, "Oh, that's really awesome. You're going to love it when Kevin Spacey walks out of the building and he turns out to be Kaiser Soze."
Wow.
And he's just like, and goes and puts it back on the shelf and has never watched that movie.
But no member of the cast or the director has actually confirmed that Kevin Spacey is actually Kaiser Soze.
But... yeah, that's the funny thing about that movie is that you know that he lied about everything.
Yeah, he
that's
lied
all
about
it was.
Everything. So
no idea what actually happened.
Why would he not lie about that also?
Yeah. I don't know, because...
We could go into fan theory,
but anyway,
on that all day. So,
no, this is not a Western. Millions. Let's get back to what we're talking
about. We are
about.
Back. Westerns.
I apologize for segueing.
Sorry, Westerns. Go.
But,
go.
Okay, so I really like that Guy Pearce movie, The Proposition.
It's on my list, too.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Sure.
Well, I downloaded it, so I downloaded it totally legitimately from Amazon.com and paid for it. Added it to my Plex account.
That's Guy Pearce, and he's awesome.
No, that is one of the most uncomfortably dirty makeup that they've given anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his hair looks constantly like covered in a film of the thickest grease from not, and his teeth are the worst teeth I've ever seen in a Western.
Yeah,
no, like it's just,
but it's
like,
it's totally accurate.
So,
it's totally accurate for the Australian wilderness.
Yeah,
which does it count as a Western since it's in Australia?
But it's
during
still,
the 19th century.
Yeah, it's in the late 1800s.
So yeah, it's
they are
I love
cowboys,
this movie.
They're bandits,
and I knew. See, the thing is, I was really looking forward to this movie when I first heard it was coming out because I really liked the concept. The concept is Guy Pearce. His brother is. Like
a rapist.
Notorious rapist outlaw. Guy Pearce, his psycho brother, and his younger, like super impressionable brother would follow around committing crimes and stuff. And eventually, Guy Pearce and his younger, like teenage brother get picked up by this colonel. And this colonel is like, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to kill your younger brother. Or you can go out and you can bring me back your older brother, who's a psycho rapist, and I won't kill your younger brother, just so I can kill your older brother. But if you don't come back to me in the next month,
it's 9 days.
In 9 days.
Yeah,
sorry.
He gives him
if you don't come
days.
Back in 9 days, I'm killing your younger brother. And that's the entire movie. And it's spectacular. So if you haven't seen it, you should watch it.
I will definitely have to give it a try. You talking about the whole, like, uncomfortably dirty thing. Has anybody seen the steaming pile of shit that is called Eden Log, I think is what it's called?
No.
I haven't heard of it.
Oh, don't. Just don't even.
It's got the word log in the title.
I think it's called Eden Log, or, like, Eden Tree or something. Anyways, so this dude wakes up underground in, like, a pool of mud. And it's, like, in his hair, and it's on his face, and it's everywhere. And they don't fix it the entire movie. Like, it bothered me so much because his hair is, like, slicked back with mud the entire movie.
Yeah, that's Guy Pearce's hair in this. It's just slicked back with grease. And his teeth are f***ing. And it's, like, clear that his character hasn't bathed in probably years. So, but I appreciate that amount of realism. It added a super grittiness to it. And John Hurt's in that movie, and John Hurt's in everything.
Yeah.
But he's awesome.
John Hurt is kind of amazing. Yeah. What's it called again? Sorry?
The Proposition.
The Proposition. When did it come out?
It
2005.
Came out... Oh, yeah.
Oh, so that's...
Almost 10 years ago, then?
According to IMDb.
Wow. Has it been that long?
That is there a ways.
Wow.
Fantastic. Oh, it also has Ray Winstone in it.
Ray Winstone's the colonel.
He's the guy that gives
awesome.
Him the proposition.
I can only think of him as Mr. French now, and that's totally okay with me.
See, I just always think of him from that Top Gear episode where they're filming Sweeney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. We are back to you, John.
Alright, and once again, I have to do this because I get entertained easily.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? How about you people try to get a little track rate? not to jump around like a bunch of Kansas City faggots.
That's not gonna be in the podcast.
Yeah,
not that part anyway.
Hey, none of us said f***s.
You just said
and so did you.
It's like the N-word all over again.
Yeah. I actually listened to that podcast.
I'll go with a little bit cleaner one. Sorry, just one second.
Where are the white women at?
Fantastic.
I love Blazing Saddles.
It's a great movie. I mean...
The sheriff's...
And it is technically, like, fits Isaac's criteria of being a musical.
I love that movie. It's...
And it is totally a musical.
It is.
It is amazing.
And just the fact that, like, all the random characters in it, and the guy who played Mongo is a pro football player who decided to be in Blazing Saddles.
And I think that movie premiered the very first, long-running fart humor joke.
It did, yes.
Yeah. Well, and also, the guy that wrote the soundtrack for it thought that he was writing a soundtrack for, like, a real serious, like, John Wayne-style Western. And did not realize, like, the theme song, like, when he sang it, like, he was putting his heart into it, and he thought it was a real deep movie. And then he came to the premiere and apparently was furious.
That makes it so much better.
Yeah, it makes it even better.
Just incredible.
Like, he rode amazing.
And
battle.
One thing that I love about that movie is, I mean, five dudes wrote it. But it was mostly written by Mel Brooks and Richard Pryor.
Yeah, which I'm a diehard Mel Brooks fan.
Richard Pryor made Mel Brooks write all of the N-word jokes because he refused to do any racist dialogue. So he made Mel Brooks do it all.
That's funny.
And apparently it's the most awkward thing he's ever done.
I still think one... Now, this... I apologize. It's a very short segue. I still think one of my favorite skits from Saturday Night Live... was the Richard Pryor job interview with Chevy Chase.
Yeah, that is the best. That is the best thing from SNL.
It was
where it's
incredible. Yeah,
it's hilarious.
And I think Chevy Chase just says, "Can I do it? Can I do it? We're gonna edit this out."
Yeah, go
Chevy
for
Chase
it.
Just looks at him at like the culmination of it. He just goes,
"Wow."
Yeah. And then Richard Pryor says "cracker," but nobody thinks that's his offense.
No, I think at the very end of it, like he says. Because he's like right before it, he says something about black people.
John hates you,
and,
guys.
And Richard Pryor goes, honky. And then he goes,
yeah.
Dead honky. Is the joke. It's fantastic.
Mean, honest to God, he used so many giggities in the last episode, or in the episode where you guys dropped the N-bomb so many times.
That, no,
like,
that wasn't that episode.
No, it was.
I haven't edited that episode
yet.
No, I just listened
to the last
one. Was
one,
the
yeah.
Troy Duffy one.
Was it really?
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah, because,
yeah.
Like, I made it, like, I was... Because you censored it, and I pointed
it
out.
There were so many giggities in that episode.
Yeah. But, yeah, Seth MacFarlane's gonna sue us because you used too many giggities.
Well, I figured he is least... He's less likely to sue than Disney for all the Ewok sounds I used in the other episode.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah. Or, you know, Troy Duffy, who's probably just going to come here and try to shoot us through his foot.
Yeah, he's the he's the dumbass who got the stupid tattoos on his forearm, so
yeah,
screw him.
That is a valid point. I met a girl that had those tattooed on her chest one
time. Did you slap her?
No, this was before the second movie came
out. Oh, okay. But, I mean, still,
this is going to end up being titled Troy Duffy Part 2.
Hey.
No, it's going to be titled Duffy, y'all, because it's Western week.
Yeah. I like the fact that John tagged me in that thing, so it's like anybody in my family can go hear me like go on like a 5-minute segue just about Troy Duffy and the Boondocks.
Well,
the thing
you
I love about
more mad than I think I've seen you in a long time.
That episode was just a culmination of your rage because the first like 10 minutes is you pissed off at us for mentioning the other guys,
and
then like 23 minutes later it's the Boondock Saints.
I
did at the end of that episode say that I was proud of you guys for not mentioning Fast and the Furious for two episodes.
Hey, does that classify as a Western?
It technically could. I mean,
it's not.
I mean, there are some trains
that
they have to steal.
Well, yeah, it's
and
true.
It's all convoy.
Too, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get back.
So, yes, Blazing Saddles is a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
And I think it definitely belongs on the list.
I'll agree with going on a Western because, like, it is.
Yeah, it's pretty
It's
great.
A great parody of Westerns, too, where, like, instead of having almost racism, like every other Western does, it has just full on, like, no, this is probably as racist as they were.
And they hang a horse.
Yeah, they do hang a horse.
So my next one, and I kind of feel like this movie just deserves an honorable mention. Like, I don't even necessarily think it should be on the list, but it deserves an honorable mention because of how I feel about the particular actor in it and director, and it's Open Range with Kevin Costner directing and starring in it. I mean, it does have Robert Duvall, which I love. Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall's
great.
But
that movie was surprisingly good.
Yeah, so that's one of those movies that was a victim of my first watch.
That animated movie about, like, the Ash with Ashton Kutcher as the deer. And
no, that was a sex tape I made with your mom.
Are you guys just trying to f*** with John at this point? Or?
Yeah.
All right. So, but no, Open Range, I mean, it had some slow points. I could give a less about the Kevin Costner love story in that movie.
Oh, I forgot there was a Kevin Costner love story.
But the shootout at the end was... It held up to a lot of the old school westerns. Like, it...
Yeah.
It definitely had some very good elements to it. And like I said, I don't necessarily think it should go on the top five unless we just are skimming for But it was a good movie, and for a Western podcast, it definitely deserves
an honorable mention. So that was one of those movies that you know how I'm into the whole, like, you know, let's watch a movie again after 3 months after I formulated an opinion, see if it's changed. That one really did a complete 180 the second time I watched it. I hated it the first time I watched it because I expected it to be this really action-packed Western, because I didn't really know about... Because when I saw it, I think it came out in like 2003. I was like 18, something like that. And I went with my girlfriend at the time who did a porno. But that's needless. Regardless,
yes,
that is another
did.
Story.
And
for,
her fiancé told me about it.
Yeah, which is hilarious. But anyway, we hated it at that time. And just because I thought it was going to be this super, like, Western gunfights. And then I watched it a couple years later, probably like 6 or 7 years later, and I loved it.
So
I was like, this movie's incredible.
I've actually got a question for everyone in here, and I hope I'm not ruining anybody's list, and we can edit this out if I am. But Appaloosa, did anybody actually...
I hated it the first time.
Me too.
I hate it.
I like it a lot more now.
I haven't watched it since.
But
I think it's better the second time. It's still not stellar.
Like, yeah.
Well, it's hilarious because what the description you just gave is the reason I hated Appaloosa.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's Viggo Mortensen and Ed Harris. Like, I was really expecting to be, like, super action. Like, the commercial.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
yeah,
these two are badasses. And then it's like...
Well, it was a victim of marketing. And I remember exactly feeling like that. Is the marketing made it seem like an action movie. I remember seeing it with my brother. My brother and I were like, yeah, we're going to go see this Western, and then we both left and we're like, that was boring.
Yeah.
And then because slow. And it's not because it was a bad movie. I am like, after, like, Open Range taught me that, is that it wasn't because it was bad. It was because assholes who marketed that movie marketed it as something that it wasn't, and they ruined the movie when they do,
like,
that.
I remember the commercial they showed over and over again was the, like, you kill kill my friend? And he's like, no, that was my partner over there. And it's like, they just, like, set him up as badasses.
Yeah.
Like,
then they kept showing that, like, gunfight in that big fort area. Oh, that's the last, like, 10 minutes of the movie.
Like Open Range. Most of the action in Open Range happens in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, that is very true. All right, so anyways.
So, yeah, so rewatch Appaloosa.
Yeah.
It's not stellar the second time, but it's a lot better.
All right, I'll definitely give it a try.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a quick question before I say. Do you guys prefer Open Range over Dances with Wolves? Because those are both Westerns directed by Kevin Costner, starring Kevin Costner.
I prefer anything over Dances with Wolves because of how many times I've seen it.
I remember Dances with Wolves just taking up half of my life.
That's the problem, is that Dances with Wolves suffers from the problem that it is too long for what it is.
Yeah.
And
it's heartbreaking.
Yeah,
like,
if someone
most of that movie is heartbreaking.
I feel like if someone went through and trimmed the fat on that movie, that could be a great movie.
Yeah.
But I will never sit down and watch it because it's over 3 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
a long ass movie.
It
was,
like,
on two VHS tapes.
The Lonesome Dove miniseries. Like, I can't sit through that.
No,
tried. It's a really good series. My dad loved the out of that. I watched it when I was a kid, but it was like 8 VHS copies that everybody owned.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
I will say though,
Tommy Lee Jones is the
Yeah.
Not gonna give that away.
I will say though that like as a gun enthusiast, God, yeah. I love that rifle. The Sharps rifle.
I will
that
say
movie is
probably
amazing.
The thing that me up the most because I watched it when I was like 5 was when I think it was it I can't remember was it it was Robert Duvall who takes that dude who's trying to that chick by the carriage or the covered wagon and he just starts smashing his head on the side of the wheel until the dude's skull is caved in and like for a 5-year-old, you have no idea what's happening. All you know is that dude's face just turned to jelly.
So it's like the part in the Lethal Weapon movie yeah. where they're like burying the guy in concrete and like that like yeah. scene severely disturbed me
yeah.
most of my life.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
So Isaac, so what was your choice, by the way?
The list.
The good, the bad, and the weird.
Well, I'm Murray saying you're gonna mention that.
It's
that
a fan is... it's so it's be it's a it's a remake of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but it was directed by... I gotta look this guy's name up, because he's not from America, because it was filmed in China.
No, was it filmed in China,
Korea.
Or was it filmed in South Korea?
Holy
shit!
I'm pretty sure the director's from South Korea, but there's... I don't think there's anywhere in Korea that
well,
has,
but...
like... Because
South
the
Korea.
Movie
oh,
looks...
Oh, but it's in a desert.
Yeah,
too,
the movie
yeah.
looks seriously yeah. like it could have been shot in America, because it's just, like,
yeah.
giant, sweeping, empty...
I guess it's neither here nor
desert.
There, actually.
Yeah.
What do you like about the movie? Yeah, because I've seen most of that movie, I've never finished it, and I feel really bad saying that, but I feel I need to be honest.
No, it's fine. Like, it's... I remember seeing The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly a lot.
Yeah.
And it's real slow.
Yeah.
It is slow, but like by the standards
here we go.
Of against this movie, for sure, it's slow.
Boy.
The best part of the movie is legitimately the last like 15 minutes of the movie
Ooh.
Where it's three dudes standing there pointing their guns at each
other. Chris looks pissed right now.
So you like the movie because they ripped off one of the greatest westerns ever made.
No, they
one of the greatest movies ever made.
That's not what I'm saying.
And
I'm saying The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a fantastic, amazing western. But it's also on everyone's list.
It's not on my list.
No, I'm not saying
I've never seen it.
Here.
I've never seen it
okay.
either. Enjoying what I'm watching.
You've never
right
seen
now.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly
oh,
at all?
Oh, God, no. We
no.
turned it on us.
Yeah. What the fuck? Man.
Oh, shit. Now
yeah,
they're teaming up.
It's like
gonna...
Minority Report all over
this
again.
Is gone now.
Chris
yeah.
is Chris is pointing at
you,
Isaac.
You
yeah.
just no. Me and
just,
Isaac are done with our argument.
Yeah, they
like,
just formed a tag
arguing.
Team.
Yeah.
Did you guys seriously
Kumbaya,
come
my lord.
To a
I just want to let you know that I love
Kumbaya.
You all.
Kumbaya.
Despite what you feel about me and my beliefs.
So no. I take you've never seen any of the Man with No Name trilogy.
Nope.
No.
You came to. Top 5 fucking westerns.
I had my
podcast.
Top 5 westerns. As a matter of fact, I had
without,
8 of them.
With, you know, Chris.
I warned you guys in advance.
More, I would break his legs.
Yeah.
Like maybe
yeah,
even
totally.
for like a fistful of dollars.
Yeah, probably.
Leg, you know.
You
I feel like that's a reference to.
Yeah,
I don't. But it couldn't possibly be a reference for something because Isaac is so original about everything.
He is. He doesn't make references.
But how the f- do you go this far? I mean, like. John is fine. Like, I totally understand John. John, like...
But
it's
I was,
John!
But
John.
I was the one who decided to do
hey,
this Western podcast.
Also, hey,
well, because you have not seen that!
So in this room, Chris and I are obviously the good, because we've seen it. Who's the ugly and who's the bad?
That's a hard one. Like, at least, like... John
Chris,
has the excuse.
I just
want to
let you know that
no,
Chris is
shut up.
Chris is
stop.
Pointing at us.
Stop talking.
He is pissed.
John is okay due to the fact that I know that John doesn't watch as many movies as you, but you have seen like probably 3/4 of the goddamn movies made, and you haven't seen the Man with No Name trilogy.
But I also haven't seen it.
You have no opinion anymore. This is a Western. Podcast, and you haven't seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
But I've seen the good, bad, and the weird.
So you're saying
3/4 of it.
Does
I'll
this
throw
mean
something
I,
at you.
Does this mean I need to take Fievel Goes West off of my list?
I'm going to throw a glass at you, John.
No,
oh
I for
God.
One agree with John. I really appreciate that as well.
Hey guys, actually real quick, I'm sorry. I did not do enough research on this. My list my option is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, because the Good, the Bad, and the Weird is set in 1920.
Oh,
so
hell.
It doesn't count.
Oh,
no, yeah, okay.
It doesn't count at all. So yeah. It's The Good,
Life
the Bad,
is a lie.
It's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is the right
I will
one.
Throw that straight out there and say that I did not watch The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, and I meant to watch it this week, but I have been in bed by like
and
7 o'clock every night, so...
For something that is like a foreign remake of one of the most famous westerns that was also not made in America.
It's not that famous.
Not
I mean, I haven't even watched it yet.
I had to listen to you talk about Spider-Man 2 for hours.
Yeah! And he's defending Spider-Man 2 and
Spider-Man
he hasn't seen The Good,
2.
The Bad, and the Ugly.
Are you... serious right now. You've seen Attack of the Killer Condom, but you haven't seen The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Well, I haven't seen all of The Killer Condom. It's kind of hard to get through. I mean, it sort of loses steam by about halfway through.
You know what doesn't lose steam halfway through? The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So it doesn't lose steam halfway through.
Alright. Okay, let's move on to the next one.
The Man With No Name series, Sergio Leone, it all three had Clint Eastwood as the Man With No Name, or Blondie, whatever you want to call him. But Fistful of Dollars for a Few Dollars More, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. My personal favorite is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. They're all good movies. Fistful... If you do watch them in order, which you honest to God don't have to.
Yeah, you absolutely don't
You
have
really
to.
Don't have to. Don't judge it based on A Fistful of Dollars, because it's not as good. It was when Sergio Leone was really inventing the whole, like, spaghetti western genre.
And it is also, like, Clint Eastwood's very first western movie with Sergio Leone.
Yeah.
So it's totally worth watching, at least for the history of that. And it's still a fun movie, man. Clint Eastwood in a western is great.
Can I just say I'm really happy that this podcast turned out this well?
Yeah.
I just love the fact it's been an hour and we've mentioned 7 movies.
I know.
That's
because
fine.
We have such a small list. I have one more movie to put.
I have like 3.
Okay, Isaac, do you have any more to say about The Good and the Bad and the Weird or The Good and the Bad
the Good,
and the Ugly?
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? Mm-hmm. It's staying on the list is what I have to say about it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's... I don't give a that half the people in this room haven't seen it. Like, because you haven't seen it, it's going on the list.
I will agree with that. Not because of fear that... It's mostly because I'm afraid that the wheel is going to be pulled out of my hand and we're going to smash it.
The ironic thing is you guys say all this, but once the website goes up and the podcast episode goes up, the Word document and the website page is just going to say Silverado, 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 Silverado.
It's going to be John.
And then you're just going
to
take
John
like...
just talking to the mic. Silverado.
No, the picture's just going to be me throwing up
all these parts of us saying Silverado, Silverado, Silverado. And he's just going to cut in every single one of the movies.
It would be easier
like,
to edit
than the Silverado.
The podcast art's just going to be me throwing up double birds.
Y'all.
While holding the official Silverado playing cards.
Okay, so I'm going to put one on the list.
Okay.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I love that movie. And I've been watching that movie since I was a wee little kid in place of times I should have been watching The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
I mean, just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, one of those times.
At least once.
I mean, to be fair, though, Chris, only one of them, has a film festival started off by, by Paul Newman. And Paul Newman's
he's
way
so
better
wrong
than
right
Clint
now.
Eastwood and everything else, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Well, have you tasted that Clint Eastwood salad dressing? It tastes like dust.
No, but Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is a fantastic movie, and it's worth watching just for the end sequence. Like,
yeah, I just want to let you know that was the Cannes Film Festival was Sundance Film Festival
is Robert Redford started it.
Considering he was Sundance.
Yeah.
And the Sundance Film Festival. Yeah. The Sundance Film Festival. Let's say it for the third time.
I like how you're being this condescending
Sundance
about something you just had
film
to Google
festival.
In order to get the information
festival.
Also, you haven't seen like what's considered to be the
that's
greatest
not
of all time.
Relevant at this point anymore.
Hey, you know where you could find it? Google. So, like, suppose you were trying to Google something else, like, just to be an argumentative asshole. While you were doing it, you could Google The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly movie, streaming 720p, something to that effect, or you could Google who started the Sundance Film Festival. That's just an example. I'm not saying someone here did that.
All right.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So, have you seen Butch Isaac?
Yeah, I've seen Butch Cassidy.
John, have you seen it?
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is legitimately raindrops keep falling on my head.
I don't mind that scene as much. I do find it. I still find it really weird that they decided to add some contemporary.
Yeah, that's, like, that's element what I find to it. Jarring about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, which like, it makes it seem very much as weird as it sounds. Makes me feel like I'm watching the Cheers intro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where everybody. Right.
So I don't think we have any disagreement that that's a good movie.
Yeah.
No.
It's so.
All right, John.
John, what do we got next?
Oh, let's see here. You'll say a little movie called Maverick.
Wait, you chose Maverick
with
over
Mel
support
Gibson?
Your...
No, I haven't mentioned Support Your Local Sheriff yet either.
No, you have like two or three times.
I still have three more movies on my list.
It's mine.
I'm just trying to.
Really?
I'm just Maverick? Going towards the best ones as
so
it gets
Maverick,
closer.
Like Maverick with.
With Mel Gibson and James Garner.
Yeah.
And Danny Glover.
Yeah.
Danny Glover for 2 seconds.
I don't care. It's the best part of that movie.
See, and that's what a cameo is. Not Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder.
That's not a cameo. That is not a cameo. That's a supporting character.
To be fair, that one was on that list, too.
Was?
It was.
Oh, I don't know. I stopped listening at a certain point.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Coogan was more of a cameo in movie than Tom
there,
Cruise.
There was entirely...
Because Steve Coogan was only in it for 15 minutes.
That was also 5 episodes ago, though, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So we don't need to, yeah.
We are still talking about Spider-Man 2.
But seriously, well, to be fair, this we're going to be talking about the fact that I haven't seen The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly for 5 more episodes.
Yes, but this is the episode I recorded with David because all of you guys weren't available.
He's not even going to forgive me even when I watch it before the next episode.
Oh, don't worry about that fact. But Maverick's a sweet movie. It's got some poker. It's got hijinks. It's got lots of really random jokes that some of them
mishaps.
Aren't appropriate. Yes, exactly. It has Danny Glover yelling, "I'm too old for this." He robs a bank after he recognizes Mel Gibson from their time working as LAPD detectives.
Yeah,
you know, like 300 years in the future.
Now that was
it's a fun movie.
I don't know if it's a good movie, but it holds a special place with me just because I saw it when I was so young.
Oh, I think it's great. I watched it like a month ago.
I own the DVD, even though it's on Netflix now.
Plus, the Indian Chief is awesome.
Yeah, the Indian Chief is amazing in that movie.
So I think the movie's pretty great.
And the Russian Hunter.
Exactly. So, Chris.
All right, so I'm going to throw out one. The Outlaw Josie Wales. Anyone seen it?
Nope.
That was on my list also. It's another, like, Clint Eastwood has legitimately been, like, I know John Wayne and Clint Eastwood are both respectively known for their westerns. John Wayne does, like, the Sean Connery thing where he's just John Wayne in different settings through his movies.
John Wayne didn't know how to do anything.
Clint Eastwood, in Paint Your Wagon, Clint Eastwood sings songs and dances. And in the rest of his movies, he's a badass that murders people. Some movies, he's helpful.
And some movies, he fires the director and decides he's going to direct it himself.
Well, he did direct The Outlaw Josie Wales.
No, that was an actual thing, and then
know,
now there
yeah,
are
yeah.
actually...
There's laws like, about that. Yeah.
Laws against that
Yeah,
now.
But I think that, like, in the terms of them...
Yeah,
love,
not
you,
dude. That
I
was
love
a thing.
Nearly
yeah.
all of Clint Eastwood's westerns, and I could not give much about John Wayne.
Yeah.
No, John Wayne's westerns were actually pretty terrible.
They're awful. He's an awful bad actor.
Yeah.
But, no, I love The Outlaw Josie Wales, and it's not the easiest movie to watch. It's straight up... depressing from the beginning right up and even though he gets his vengeance at the end, everyone's still dead. His family's still dead. His unit's still dead. His partner's dead. Everybody is dead at the end of that movie. And even though he gets to brutally murder the one that's responsible for it all, it doesn't give closure. But it is a very well-made movie, and I love that movie.
Yeah.
Isaac?
All right.
Anything else?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure John's going to hit it, but I'm just going to say it because I keep...
Oh, wait. What are we talking about?
Cannibal the Musical.
not exactly what I thought you were going to mention.
Just out of curiosity, have you watched that recently?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The movie itself is garbage. But
oh,
it's
I
on
love
there
that movie.
For the same
I
reason that I like
that
I love Paint Your Wagon, where there are so many stupid jokes and songs, but it makes me happy so deep down. Like, it's the snowman song. When I say it's a spadoinkle day.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make you smile a little bit
so,
to say spadoinkle?
So, I feel really bad, but I just had the revelation like 3 years ago that the, if you remember the first few seasons of South Park, they had like their like brand if films or whatever logo where they'd have a plane like flying through at the end and it'd go do 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 do. That was the sky is blue
and all the leaves are green.
Yeah,
the sun is warm.
I didn't even like I was like all of a sudden I was just like and the sky is blue. Holy
yeah.
The problem that I have with that. When did you guys see that movie the first time?
Oh God, when I was like 17.
Yeah, when I was like 16 or 17.
I saw that movie the first time when I was probably like 12 or 13. So I watched
that movie has no place for a 12 or 13.
No, it was amazing when you're 12 or 13. The problem is you watch that movie when you're like 13 years old, and then you come back to it when you're like 22 years old, 23. It sucks.
Well,
like
I loved it because I was like 17, 18. I looked at this. I obviously knew it was a piece of college kids movie, and I was just like, God, this movie sucks, and I love it.
Yeah.
Plus, actually, my favorite fact about that movie is that his horse in the movie, who he loves, like, you know, Alfred Packer, his horse.
Yeah. No, that's the character.
No, I know, but his Alfred Packer's horse in the movie is, you know, like, she keeps getting around and getting ridden by everyone else.
Uh-huh.
He's named after his the horse is named after his college girlfriend.
Fantastic.
Because she broke his heart and a bunch of other dudes. And he's like, you know what?
Dang.
Make these
really
jokes about
sad,
this horse,
really
this
funny.
Poor that keeps getting ridden by all
hilarious.
These other men.
That's great.
And it's also
damn.
The same name. I think, what's Cartman's mom's name? It's the same name as the horse.
I don't remember the horse's name.
I don't remember either. Alrighty. Andrew, any other movies?
So I had Young Guns on there, but y'all made me sound like I like
no,
gay porn.
I like Young Guns. I even like Young Guns too, but apparently we were outnumbered on that.
I liked Young Guns.
I didn't
the first
say that
one
I liked
is
it,
great because
but...
the soundtrack is not by Bon Jovi.
What do you got against Bon Jovi?
I forgot it is Bon
Jovi. Only
that
I've seen him twice in concert, and I've been able to make a formulated and informed opinion and decision that I hate him. So
I'm just giving you crap.
I have paid enough.
You've seen Bon Jovi twice in concert.
My dudes to know that I have a legitimate right to hate Bon Jovi.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so, it doesn't sound like Young Guns is going to make the list. John. What do you got?
Support your local sheriff.
I agree.
Because that movie's awesome.
I've never seen it.
I have not seen it either.
Wait, you practically like lived at my parents' house for like 8 years and you never saw that movie?
Nope.
I thought my dad like forced everyone to watch it.
No, me and your dad just watched way too much Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Well, that's a good excuse.
Me and your dad just talked about bacon
like,
sales.
Yeah, or like Kelly's Heroes.
No,
something.
I love Kelly's Heroes.
I did try to find that movie at one point, but like you guys said, it's
impossible.
You can't find it
anywhere. I had to borrow my dad's copy to rewatch it recently.
No, so
I have a copy on my hard drive.
But oh, okay. James Garner is awesome. He's just a smart aleck guy who gets forced into being a sheriff because he stopped a street brawl.
Mm.
Because, and he's on his way to Australia.
Yeah.
So
riding
he's just
through the West.
Through anyway.
You know, he's just riding his horse through, you know, like Texas or Arizona on the way to Australia.
Why has nobody mentioned Quigley Down Under?
You did. Well, you talked about it earlier.
Never once.
I didn't
mention Quigley Down Under at all.
I thought Quigley Down Under was. I thought Quigley Down Under was too.
No, you mentioned.
I thought it was set in the wrong.
Dubs, sorry.
Yeah, I thought it was set in the wrong time.
I mentioned
period.
The proposition because that was in Australia.
Yeah.
Also.
So yeah, so this town discovers gold, so they all become crazy.
Oh, okay. No, I just realized what I did. I completely mixed up Lonesome oil. Dove and Quigley Down Under. Quigley Down Under was the one I was thinking of because that's the one with the sharps
rifle. No, it's gold. Alan fucking Rickman and Tom Selleck. Come on.
Yeah, that's,
that movie's on my list. I'm
that
sorry.
Is the one with the sharps rifle.
Yeah, it is.
Is Quigley Down Under?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's got an amazing rifle that would probably kill
I didn't put that on because for some reason I was thinking that it was too, like, it was set in too recent of a time
period.
No,
that was in the 19th century.
No. Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty, so, yeah, I will definitely have to watch Support Your Local Sheriff. So, I another one for me, has anyone seen Unforgiven?
Yes, that was actually on my list and I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah. So it was actually Clint Eastwood's last, and yes, I realize I'm a Clint Eastwood fanboy when it comes to Westerns, but it was Clint Eastwood's last movie, Western, and he directed it and starred in it, and it was another one of those ones that was like, it didn't have the, like, fun element of being a Western, like, it wasn't goofy at all, it was super serious the whole time, and it's like, even at the end, after he kills Gene Hackman, again, it's like, yeah. That was a brutal movie to watch, and I have no closure, and I'm not happy about it.
Well, and that, like, was the point of it, though.
But the end just sums it up so well, because he's got Gene Hackman on the ground, he's pointing the rifle at him, and Gene Hackman's like, I'll see you in hell, and he's like, yup. Yeah. And then just shoots him. Like, he has no delusions about being a good guy. He's...
Yeah. Well, I mean, that in and of itself, what you just described, is the entire movie.
Yeah.
Like, just culminating in that one last scene where the only people who really can cut it as natural killers in the world are the people who have that.
Yeah.
And Clint Eastwood is the only person standing in that room who has that at that time. Hence why he has no hesitation in killing everyone.
Yeah.
And they are losing their mind the entire scene as he's just gunning them down one after another. So, and that's one of the most brilliant scenes I've ever seen in a Western.
It's a fantastic movie. Yeah, and that movie's on, I think it's one of Clint Eastwood's best movies that he's directed, personally.
Yeah.
All right, so anybody else got any more? I've got more, but at this point, I think that we're probably at, like, the two-hour mark for recording, and...
No, only an hour 12.
I was only going to mention The Magnificent Seven as the last one, but that's basically the exact same movie as Seven Samurai.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. And
Seven Samurai was a better movie anyway.
Yeah, it's such a good movie, but it isn't as good as the source material, in my opinion, but it does have Steve McQueen in it, so...
Yeah.
But that's a great movie. The Wild Bunch is also another one that...
Yeah, Wild Bunch is real good.
Is fantastic.
That really hurt.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I just looked it up. Quigley Down Under does technically count.
Why does it only technically count?
Because the rifle that he uses in the movie wasn't made at first until, like, the first model came out in 1874...
Yeah.
So it was in the
when
real
does the movie take place?
Late 19th century.
Well, as long as it doesn't take place.
I know, I'm just saying.
I think we had come to an agreement that as long as it takes
before 1910. Flying out.
No, he rides.
He flew to Australia.
He rode
from
on
Wyoming.
Sailed.
Flew on an airplane.
Boat.
To Australia.
Sailboat. Harbor is the first scene.
Nope. Airplane.
No.
Yeah, he flies into.
I think you're actually thinking of the movie
Sydney
Airplane.
SLX.
I think you're just saying airplane.
I'm gonna nominate Star Wars: A New Hope as the best Western of all time. It was well before.
You know,
the
actually, it
takes place in the desert.
It takes place,
in the desert.
It was before the 19th century.
It was way before the 19th.
There
it hits all the common tropes.
There's a scene in a bar in a tavern where there's a shootout. Has
a scoundrel.
Yeah.
Has short little bandits.
Yeah. I think that Star Wars A New Hope is the greatest Western ever made.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, sorry. All right, so what all do we have on our list?
All right, so the last thing on the list is Silverado, because it's the best movie ever made on the face of the earth. And if it doesn't get put in the top five, we're going to kill all you mother.
John's going to quit his own podcast.
I will.
Well, just show up next week. He's like, I'm not doing it.
I renamed it. A Noob.
A Noob. Y'all, because you don't like Silverado.
I'm just gonna make my own list.
I didn't say I didn't like Silverado. It's a good movie.
I'm saying I'll defend it. Doesn't have to be number one, but I'll defend it until the end of my life.
All right.
Okay.
Because it has Danny Glover. Sure. Beating the out of people for calling him.
John,
oh man,
I hold the title of the only person on the podcast that has not actually said the N-word.
Actually, I don't know if that's true. I have to go back and listen to the file.
Nope, I have. I do not. I have not. I have.
You've never said nacho, or like nothing, or like narwhal, or what other words begin with N?
No, that starts with E.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So
I specifically heard you saying on the one of the podcasts, Troy Duffy is word for word.
No, I don't say it because I have white man's guilt for that particular word.
That's
so
funny.
Anyways, we've got Silverado.
All right, so we got let's see here, Unforgiven.
Okay, so as much as it pains me to do this because I know two of the. Don't want to do it.
Well, let me go through the rest of the list first.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if two people in the room haven't seen the movie, should we really put it on the list?
Well, that's like half the list, though.
But that'll cut half of the list out.
And that'll cut the good, the bad, and the ugly,
yeah.
which will hurt me.
It'll
but
cut out
literally. We don't have any listeners, so they don't really matter.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But... Okay, so I think we can nominate the good, the bad, and the ugly because I am making a promise, a commitment, right now... That when I get home, I'm going to start watching it and at least watch 15 minutes before I fall asleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you've got a lot of 15-minute segments because it is a long movie.
Okay. It will be finished within a week, so it can be on the list.
Alrighty.
Yes. All right.
All right, so continue the list.
Let's see here. All right, so Unforgiven, Quigley Down Under.
I love The Rifle and Quigley Down Under, and I love that movie. I'd like to keep it on the list for now until we finish the list.
But in terms of Australian Westerns, would you rather have that or The Proposition?
I would actually, the truth is, I'd rather have Quigley Down Under because it has Alan Rickman as the villain.
And I think we've all seen Quigley Down Under.
Yeah,
I haven't
not
seen
everybody's seen The Proposition.
And The Proposition is it's a fantastic movie, but it is a real downer.
You know, and it's funny because I started thinking about it and I looked up the thing. And I remember seeing previews for that movie, and I was going to go see it. Like,
yeah, but it was only in limited theaters.
Yeah, and I
so
never
it,
saw
I,
it.
I remember it didn't show up
I just
here.
Forgot about it.
Like, it didn't come to Pilot Butte, because I would have went and saw it, because I was looking
forward
to
it. Yeah, I think I had to watch it on DVD. I don't think they even had it.
All right, back to the list.
All right, Cannibal the Musical.
That can go. It's not technically a Western to me.
Why?
It's because it's a college guy's, like...
No. You said it had to be set in the 17th or 19th century.
Skid mark of
Alfred
a movie. Alfred
Pack
on his full
led the led the expedition.
You starting
it's
to hate doing this
Western.
Podcast with us yet?
1842.
Yet, no.
Give me a couple more weeks.
Are you? You're just making that up.
Yeah, I'm just
you are
for
making
the
that up
right
now.
Yeah,
look at that year.
I am.
I'm gonna see if you are making.
I'll just
that
like
up.
Be on your website and it'll just be like podcast by yourself. Like, yeah. So
God's gonna be like, so I really lied.
So Andrew, Chris, and Isaac suck. I spent literally more time editing like by 10 times than I did actually doing the podcast. They
all
never
right.
let me talk at all.
So, okay, so we'll leave it
Andrew
on the list.
Was too
okay,
busy
just
arguing.
Just to finish this, I believe you, okay? Isaac is waving his phone around in front of me with IMDb.
I'm going
to
veto
so
it just because if we let Isaac get his way, he's going to start throwing out stupid
it's
you
not
ginger
stupid.
Bastard. We are done.
Fine.
We are
done.
It's gone.
It's off. Fine. Fine.
I don't even need to worry about trying to help a little bit to keep it on the list because you, it's gone.
the problem is if like it's that whole like Republican saying that they use all the time: if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, and that's Isaac. Like,
you are damn right. Because
I guarantee you, if we let him put Cannibal the Musical, he's gonna be like, well, Woody was a cowboy in Toy Story. And then,
or he's going to be like, Paul Walker was a cowboy in Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, and they
he
never actually
cowboy.
Say what
was
year it was set in.
All
so,
right.
So no Cannibal the Musical.
All right, so Outlaw Josie Wales.
I haven't actually seen it.
Oh, I thought you said you had.
No.
Okay. Yeah,
you
so,
should definitely
so,
give
yeah,
it a
and,
watch. It's
and any movie that... half of us haven't seen.
Well,
you gotta take
I would wait. I would hold off on saying that for the moment.
Okay.
All right, they've got Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
I love that movie.
We've all seen that, and it is a great movie. I think it deserves a place on the list.
Then Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which you already mentioned.
I have made a commitment to watch this movie, so
Can we just put that? Let's just put it as an honorable mention on the list, if you can, John. Just like throw,
yeah, I can do that.
Just throw in an honorable mention because I don't want to force it on there, even though I do, because I'm a huge jackass.
And it's such a great movie.
I just want to slap the of Andrew and not John, because John works out all the time. He could probably kick my ass.
No, you know what? No.
John,
we can slap
the as
John.
I
watched it with my dad. My dad owns it.
He loves you more.
But it's John.
I know. John
so
sucks.
You're
I get
just
that.
Saying, you're saying, so I don't want to slap him because he's black and underprivileged.
No.
I want to slap you because you're white and you're more intelligent.
Honest to God, it's because for a very long time, John had not seen, like, any fucking movies. Like, he had seen...
What do you mean, for a very long time? I still haven't.
Like, John watches movies with The Rock in them and, like, that have the title of Fast or Furious somewhere in them. You watch movies constantly. Like, I have your media server shared on my computer. I know how many movies that you watch, and I see how often it's updated. And if it was an obscure film, I could forgive it. But you've heard about The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You've been told that it's a good movie. I can guarantee you have. You've read about it, and you'd be like, I should watch that sometime. But you haven't.
I just like the fact he's defending me for some reprehensible bull.
Yeah.
Most people would, like, stab me for watching a movie with The Rock in it, and he's like, oh, it's all good.
It's because it's you, John.
It's because it's my house.
I feel like I'm just being beat up because I'm obviously more well-informed.
That's
right?
Exactly... That is what it is.
It's because
you're a son of a bitch and you know it.
Picking on me is like picking on a slow kid.
Here's what it is. It's the same way that, like, if someone I work with says some straight-up ignorant racist
I
can let it go because of the fact that I work with people where I work. Like, they say that stuff, and it's like, yeah, that's just what they say. But it's like, if any of you in this room said some straight-up ignorant racist and, like, legitimately believed it, I'd be pissed at you.
See,
because I know that you should know better.
This makes me feel like this is why I never want to be a manager of any sort of company. Because the more you know, the more you get your ass kicked.
That's exactly...
like, when you don't do the right thing.
That is exactly
thing.
It. Like, you have spent countless hours watching movies.
I've already made a commitment to you. I'm going to watch this movie.
But how old are you now?
Well, that's relevant.
No, it's very relevant to the conversation.
I'm only 29, for Christ's sake.
So the next one on the list is Tombstone.
Tombstone, then.
Yeah.
And then True Grit.
I agree that Tombstone definitely needs to be on there.
Tombstone should be on the list, and True Grit as well. We all are... That was True Grit was the best.
It was
modern
the best
western
yeah,
to
I
come
would agree.
Out.
It was the best modern western. It was better than Django and better than
All right, so I'll delete Django then because that was the next one on the list.
You can get rid of Django. Django was
by default.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. I love Django Unchained.
I didn't mean to get him started.
I love the fact that it has all of these sort of western tropes. But it doesn't, to me, feel like a genuine Western. Like, where it's 100% through and through.
It's not
a Western.
But...
This is very, like, hey, I'm a contemporary, modern, topical Western. But I am also a homage to spaghetti Westerns, and I'm also poking fun at all the things that were wrong with Westerns. So it doesn't actually... It feels more like it's... Hey, this is contemporary. This is an idea. This is something that someone could make a week after a current event.
Okay, so first thing, so those are the two modern ones. So let's just take a vote between those two. Who votes for True Grit that it should be in the place?
I do.
I don't care about.
I just want to note that. Yeah,
I like both movies, so I'm fine with either one on the list.
I genuinely felt like True Grit was more of a genuine Western.
Actually, that's the movie that started this topic in your brain was True Grit.
It was actually. Yeah, I watched True Grit and I was like, this movie. Incredible.
It is.
That's what started
movie.
The text message.
And that's actually one of the movies I own on DVD. Also, why the f*** are you talking about spaghetti westerns when you haven't seen the original spaghetti western trilogy?
So I just realized that one of the favorite movies of mine that I wanted to put on the list is actually disqualified.
What? Which one?
Because I forgot about the final scene of Blazing Saddles where they reveal that the movie's actually set in, like, 1976.
Yeah, because it's on the soundstage.
I work for Mel Brooks, asshole!
Yeah, where they actually go to the movie theater and the sound stages.
Oh, yeah.
So, unfortunately, I have to delete that.
Also, I feel that...
I mean, I love that movie.
While you're deleting that, while we're talking about Westerns, even though it is not a movie, I feel that we should give a mention to Deadwood, because that was an amazing fucking show.
Yeah. Honorable mention, because it was a TV show, yes. And honorable mention, I'm sorry, to No Country for Old Men, because it doesn't fit the qualifications, because it takes place in, like, the 1970s.
It does not.
Yeah.
All right, so I will delete 310 to Yuma, because I know that there's other movies you guys like more.
I enjoyed 310.
Oh, me too, but I know that it's not going to... We have like 8 things on the list, and I know it's not going to beat out, you know, Butch Cassidy or stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, we can probably get rid of the proposition, because I think there's only 2 people here who've actually seen that.
Yeah, okay. I will make a point to watch that now. Yeah. Is it on your server?
It should be on my server.
Okay,
I'll have to check it when I get
like
home.
Like I said, I remember seeing, and I wanted to watch that movie, and then it just... I didn't get a chance.
All right, so let's see here. We need to get rid of, it looks like, 1 movie.
What do we got?
So we have Silverado, True Grit, Tombstone, Butch Cassidy, Quigley Down Under, and Unforgiven.
Quigley Down Under. Oh, that's a hard one.
So wait.
Because Quigley Down, I love Quigley Down Under.
All right, so, well, let me move.
Have you seen Unforgiven, Isaac?
Let me move The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly to the... honorable mention spot.
It's been a really long time. I know I've seen it, but it's been, like, genuinely a long time.
We can knock Unforgiven off, because
Unforgiven is a classic.
But we've got
we've got
the 2 out of 4 rule. Like, because he can't even
you
remember.
You got John? Unforgiven either?
I haven't.
Yeah, I genuinely have seen it, but I genuinely remember, like, next to nothing.
Genuinely one of the best.
I would definitely put a high recommendation on that movie.
So I guess we were going to have some honorable mentions on this list. It's to say they are disqualified for this reason, but they are a definite honorable mention, and you need to watch them.
John's just going to delete the whole podcast as soon as we
walk
out
the door.
That's
true, and he's just going to say Silverado.
Because he's smart and has realized already that he doesn't want to spend 27 hours editing out the your mom jokes.
Here's the thing.
And the N-word.
All of my editing is done when I'm just roaming around the countryside in The Witcher hunting down drowners. Because you don't need audio to kill a drowner. You can like... pause in the middle of the battle, delete like 6 swear words in the middle, and then go back to killing stuff and riding around on your horse.
That's the Witcher 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, that game is incredible.
Okay, we need to talk about that after the podcast.
I play a lot of video games while I edit podcasts.
Yeah, I'll have to tell you the best Fallout character ever to create after the podcast.
The dumb one?
Yes. The 1 on intelligence, 10 on his toughness and his hand-to-hand combat, and 1 on all of his guns.
So just every D&D character I've ever created.
Yes.
All right, back to the podcast.
Well,
all right, yeah. So now we have to arrange them. Cool. Do it however, because I got to get home and go to bed soon, so I have to open tomorrow.
I didn't know you had to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I thought I worked late, but I opened it.
All right, so we got... out of these 5 that we need to arrange, we have Silverado, True Grit, Tombstone, Butch Cassidy, and Quigley Down Under.
Just based on this group, I would say that probably True Grit is getting the number 1 spot. I could be wrong. I would say that it's down between Butch Cassidy or True Grit.
I don't know, dude. I love Tombstone. I love Tombstone because
I totally agree.
It's such a campy, fantastic, great Western
story.
But
I think that True Grit is a better Western.
Yeah, no,
overall.
I agree.
True Grit needs
to be number 1. I agree because, like, through and through, that's one of the best.
I think Tombstone
is
number 2 in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with John on this one and put Silverado at 3.
Yeah,
I'm down with that.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Silverado's a great movie, man.
Yeah.
Butch Cassidy, I think, just because of the end sequence, deserves the 4th slot.
Yeah. And then Quigley at 5.
Then we can put Quigley at 5, just because that rifle.
Alan Rickman is a fantastic villain. I love him as a villain in anything that he plays a villain in.
So,
all right. Good, the Bad, and the Ugly as number honorable mention.
I will watch that this week and then Chris will continue to berate me about it. For the
absolutely.
Rest of the year.
Yep. Also, but yeah, if you get a chance, John, you definitely should check out Unforgiven and Isaac.
Okay.
It's the, like I said, it's the last Western that Clint Eastwood did. He starred and directed it. It's just, it's kind of a hard watch because, like I said, it's not a happy, forgiving Western.
It's really not
like one of those ones with, like, you know, people die without consequences or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty
gut-wrenching at times just because the whole concept is that when you kill people, there are consequences.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't matter how hardened you are. So, but anyway, you know.
All right, and then the only other thing is, if you ever need of a good sweet burger to eat, get yourself a hamburger, marinate it, and actually get some ground beef, marinate it in teriyaki sauce overnight, slap it on a bun with some...
Like raw?
Yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're clear about the
directions. Come on, man. Paleo, bro.
All
right. So, throw it on there with some cheese. I mean, kind of all... I prefer pepper jack, but I know some people go with some nice mozzarella on it. Throw on a slice of pineapple.
Mozzarella with teriyaki? That actually sounds kind of...
It just...
I could rather have, like, Swiss. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry,
you know what?
Pineapple.
Swiss works too. Like I said, it's your choice, man. And then some pineapple. And then, you know, some nice lettuce. And you got yourself a good old-fashioned Hawaiian burger, I guess is what they call it.
Yeah.
But it's some damn good sauce.
Sorry, I forgot to bring out a burger for the picture.
That's okay. We'll get that next time. So, yeah, so have yourselves an enjoyable week. Eat some good burgers.
I know what I'll be eating this weekend. I was the bear.